Morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, October the 23rd, 2022. And I have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joe on with me. And there's some interesting stuff up on my website you might want to take a look at. It's about Al Beelick and the Philadelphia Experiment. And there's some other stuff that Kathy O'Brien's been putting out you might want to look at and listen to. There's some new stuff. I'm back in business 100%. I'm going to be running my website every day as far as doing things. Now, Jim, what do you have to report today?
Well, Stu, the situation worldwide, especially in relation to Ukraine, could not be more serious. We have the Russian ambassador to the United States declaring that Washington has long since crossed all red lines drawn by Moscow. He pointed to the Nord Stream incident, where it's very clear that the United States took it out. Indeed, before the intervention by Russia, Biden had declared that if Russia were to invade Ukraine with troops and tanks, that Nord Stream would no longer exist. Victoria Nuland made the same declaration, that if there were an intervention, that the Nord Stream would end. When Biden was asked how it would be done, he wouldn't answer the question, but it's very clear the United States was responsible. That's an act of war. That's a crime against humanity. But the situation has become even worse in Ukraine because they're threatening the Ukrainians to blow a dam that would be major. There's the potential for a nuclear explosion of this largest nuclear power plant in Europe, which happens to be in Ukraine. Moscow has gone to DEFCON 2. This is absolutely stunning stuff. The Russian leadership preparing for a worst scenario of the blowing up of the dam. And the Kyshokaya hydroelectric power station is high on the Russian media. If this happens, there's a serious prospect of direct or indirect nuclear disaster as the cooling system of that nuclear power plant, the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, will be seriously threatened. We actually, it turns out, that the Ukrainians have used a tactical dirty nuke in Ukraine already, which no doubt was supplied by the United States. And it looks as though they're eager to set one off where the wind is going to blow over Russian troops. These people are, of course, fighting dirty, but what else would you expect of a group of neo-Nazis? It's disgusting beyond belief. I think Biden, the clumsy effort, the failures of the foreign policy, when you put completely demented individuals in charge of the government, you're going to have catastrophic results. We're on the verge.
You want to add to that, Joe?
That's just exactly what Jim is saying. This is a very, very dangerous situation, and consequences are can be absolutely disastrous.
It will be for the United States. I'm telling you, Otis Johnson, NSA super spook, told me that he was on the phone with Russian Putin over Syria of us doing biological agents over there on him, and said, if it doesn't stop, he's going to drop a nuke in the Azov Fault off the coast of New York out quite a ways. But it would cause a tidal wave to hit the whole East Coast from Florida to Maine. And it would go all the way to the center of the United States, 1,800 feet tall. Plus, he's got the Gulf of Mexico. He parked a stealth submarine several years back down there for 6 months under the water. Pops up the coast of Florida there to be seen, then communication between the U.S. and Russia. And they said, we've been sitting out in your Gulf and you didn't even know it for 6 months. So they've got capability of hitting that oil spill, and that will blow the Gulf of Mexico wide open, clear to the Great Lakes. Very serious stuff. Now, Jim, go ahead.
Well, Stu, the government, the Congress is trying to rush through another $80 million. $80 billion for Ukraine. It's an actually staggering $50 billion in additional military aid before a new Congress is sworn in January. One more indication your senators and representatives no longer view the American people as their top priority, but rather the government of a corrupt Eastern European nation is their new baby. This is absolutely stunning stuff. The funding concept is being pursued amid concerns a new Congress would take a more skeptical view, and deservedly so. They haven't formally made a request for the new funding, but you can anticipate it's going to happen. Guess who did? The prodigal son, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, has asked for $50 billion more. He's insisted Ukraine would need an additional, even actually $55 billion, to combat budget and infrastructure brought about by the Russian invasion. They're pocketing this money. There's endless corruption. The 3/4 or more of the weapons that are being sent to Ukraine wind up on the black market. It's doing nothing to deal with the war, but then again, they're on the wrong side. Everything Russia is doing has been appropriate and just and warranted under international law.
Now, I want to say this because I'm an ex-Marine. You're an ex-Marine captain. You were a captain in Vietnam, which was very serious. And you're strategically correct about a lot of things that you're talking about. And Joe is too. Joe and I have been talking about a lot of this stuff in the past 3-4 shows on how bad it's going to be. But they are driving us, this Victoria Nuland, and them, they're driving us into World War III, are they not?
Oh, of course, World War III, yeah, absolutely. Well, no question about it.
Now, I met Al Bielek in Ohio one time, and he was on the Philadelphia experiment. He was on one of those ships that they were going to send into invisibility, and it backfired. And now I posted something up on that here yesterday, and I talked to Al, but he, in his audio that they've got, there's a couple audios I posted up there, he talks about the fact that we would be in World War III before 2025, that he saw that when he went into space-time. Anyway, just thought I'd add a tidbit there, because we're pushing the limit right now. And it says...
Jim, I think the audience or the listeners would, if you care to discuss it, what happened between you and AJ and what the blowback on that was that happened to you?
Well, this whole business with Alex Jones is a political theater. It's an extravaganza to try to demonize anyone who challenges any official narrative. Alex Jones only mentioned skepticism about Sandy Hook a few times in response to callers. He mostly endorsed it as being real. He has made himself vulnerable by being on both sides, but he also appears to be complicit. I sought to intervene in all three of these Alex Jones trials by pointing out that there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook. I was opposed not only by the plaintiffs, the fake Sandy Hook parents, which came as no surprise, but even by the defendants. All these cases have been decided on procedural grounds, whether by stipulation or presumption or agreement, in the case of Alex Jones, by default, for purportedly failing to satisfy a discovery demand. But Robert Barnes has actually been in the courtroom and thought it was very, very peculiar that they had three cameras running, one on the jury, where he felt it had the feel of a made-for-TV movie. I think he's got it right. When he asked questions about what failure of discovery had led to this default, no one could answer, not even Elizabeth Williamson, whom he identifies as the one who's gifting off of this, making money out of it, not Alex Jones. He's actually lost money out of it. And the idea that there could be an award of $50 billion in damages for having an opinion is completely ludicrous. And believe it or not, it appears that plaintiffs are now seeking to have that increased to the max of something like $2+ trillion. I mean, this is just so ludicrous. I think any American is going to regard this as absurd. I mean, completely and frankly absurd. So I sought to aid and abet Alex. I even offered to be an expert witness to explain why it would be very plausible for someone to doubt that it had been authentic. I reached out to Norman Pattis, his attorney, but I got no response. Alex, even during the video deposition in Connecticut, where two of the cases occurred, stated in a video deposition he'd never read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which is pretty ridiculous, since it's the one book that actually dispatches what actually took place there, where I brought together 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, and we established a school that had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, and that it had been a FEMA drill, a two-day exercise, a mass casualty exercise involving children. When the events on the ground correspond, I published a manual in the book, and I subsequently obtained additional confirmation, including the schedule for the Connecticut FEMA that has the exercise, which was labeled L-366, right on its schedule for that day, 14 December 2012. So there's really no question that it was fraudulent, and exactly how this is being played is beyond belief.
Now, Donald Trump, I have on my website, if people go to the search box and punch in Alex Jones and then punch in for May 2022, there's a story up there where Donald Trump called Alex Jones a traitor after he called him up to borrow $7 million. The guy's worth, I forgot what the story said, but he's listed in Forbes, and he's a radio talk show host. Nobody that's a radio talk show host that I know has any money, really, to speak of. Now, this guy got millions of dollars and the whole bit. He puts out this information. He used Ted Gunderson, put him an FBI troll, stooge, that was trying to demonize me, ruin my reputation. He put him on his radio program many, many times, saying that I stole documents from him. No such thing happened. He had asked me to go to his place because he had a killer over there, and he was inside of his unit, and he wasn't supposed to be there. And I had to climb a building 5 stories up to kick him out, of which I did. Then he jumped off of this bed, swung at me, and I knocked him on his ass, and I kicked him out in his underwear. And then I was in a meeting, which I put up yesterday. I was in a meeting with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. She was getting ready to do her book to go to California. She stopped in Vegas because they had a flight there. We all had dinner. I was invited. Gunderson had invited me, so I went with him. Well, Mark Phillips and I made a second trip up to the smorgasbord while Gunderson was questioning her about her book, infiltrating her. And Mark told me, and Mark was former CIA, he told me, he said, "Stu," he said, "do you trust Gunderson?" I said, "not really." I said, "there's something wrong." He says he's working for Joint Task Force Group. He's a dirty guy. He's an infiltrator. He said, "don't trust him and don't hang around with him." I said, "you got it for sure." He says, "I've checked everything about this guy." He said he's on their payroll. He was kicked out of the FBI, by the way, because he was holding satanic ceremonies in his FBI office. And his wife said, and I have a recording of her on Radio Bar 1, she divorced him because he was considered to be a paranoid schizophrenia. And when he would take his meds, he would be normal. When he didn't take his meds, he was a fruitcake. Alex Jones put this guy on and slandered me, lied about me, and did everything else, all from around 2000 to about 2006 or 8 when Gunderson died. Now, not only did he infiltrate Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips infiltrated me, he infiltrated other people. But these are the kind of people that this Alex Jones puts on the air. He's a limited hangout, whether it's Joint Task Force, Mossad, who he's working for, who he's being paid by, I'm not sure. But he puts out half-truths and half-disinformation intentionally to the baby patriots that are too stupid to listen to real talk show. Go ahead, Jim.
No, you want Joel's spots here. Joel.
Okay, I think, Jim, if you would take that a little bit further of what's happened to you on this blowback of your involvement with Alex Jones, because for those of you that haven't heard, there is within the conspiratorial world the good guy, bad guy, and gray guy. And Alex Jones sometimes really comes across as a controlled opposition. And so that's what Jim is and Stu are addressing. It's this controlled opposition potential. So what was the blowback, Jim, that happened to you where you have now ended up in court?
Well, I mean, the Amazon banned the book less than a month after it went on sale back in 2015, and I immediately released it for free as a PDF. Now, they didn't see that coming. A friend has suggested it's been downloaded as many as 10 million times. Since I've never cared about money, only about truth, that worked for me. A lawsuit was brought against me in order to find a ground so they could staunch the flood of downloads of the book for free by claiming I committed a defamation. The way the whole suit was handled, the court case in court was absurd. Because it turns out in Wisconsin, there's a peculiar summary judgment procedure that entitles the judge to exercise his own subjective opinion about whether or not disputed facts are bona fide. If they're decide whether they're reasonable or unreasonable, and basically set them aside as though they did not exist, so that in a proper summary judgment, you would assume everything I was arguing. Nobody died in San Diego as a FEMA drill. I got the manual, FBI, you can saw it, a crime report, all this stuff. And then you'd have to ask the petitioner, the plaintiff, in this case, the legal fiction Leonard Posner, whether or not he agreed. And only if he agreed would there be no undisputed facts for the judge to then rule as a matter of law. But here, of course, he's insisting he had a son who died and have what he claimed to be an authentic death certificate pop off. That is the judge. Even though I had two forensic document experts on my side, nevertheless ruled against me and claimed there were no disputed facts when there could hardly have been a case of more dispute because of this perverse methodology. He had awarded the legal fiction $450,000. That was actually during the trial for damages when they projected the image of the decedent on the wall, and the leak claimed that was wife, a woman, did an emotional bit. It was all ridiculous. But the fact my right to a trial by jury was grossly violated, given these disputed facts that were just set aside. So I appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'm now given to understand it was the Chief Justice who decided my appeal had to be denied. I think they'd invested so much in Alex Jones and this propaganda, they couldn't allow it to be undone by having a Supreme Court ruling favorable in my case, even though it would have been appropriate and historic for the Supreme Court, because it turns out there's an odd feature historically that 9 of the first 10 amendments have been affirmed by the Supreme Court to apply to all 50 states, but alone among them, the 7th has not. So I was teeing up a case where they could affirm the application of the 7th Amendment to all 50 states. They could correct the summary judgment procedure in Wisconsin. They could undo the major problem with the American judiciary today, which is the abuse of summary judgment. It could have all been cleaned up. It should have gone forward. But the Chief Justice, whom I'm given to understand is the one who is managing Sandy Hook cases, had it denied so that they would not consider and take the actions that were most appropriate. I'm seeking grounds to request a reconsideration, which requires new evidence. So I'm in the process of seeking to put together what I can. Meanwhile, I've not back to the Wisconsin courts, to the Court of Appeals, about the ridiculous taking of my blog, because since the blog and the book are not money, and Wisconsin requires that monetary judgment can only be satisfied by monetary awards, there was a blatant violation of Wisconsin law here, very clear-cut, so I'm going to find out whether or not the Court of Appeals is willing to grant what they ought to do here.
So another little, Jim, what's happened here is with your goodwill of providing Alex with some real forensic evidence, it turns out that they're out of that because the way that was heard by Alex, there was a blowback that came on you.
Yeah, well, I think there are those who speculate that the timing of Alex Jones' case was intended to parallel my appeal to the Supreme Court so they could use it. And there's been so much coverage of Jones with no coverage of mine. I mean, he's still at the circuit court level, whereas I'm all the way into the United States Supreme Court. you would have thought it was newsworthy, especially since it affects the Seventh Amendment right of every American citizen, but no, not a peep in the news, not a peep.
Well, they were trying to affect the Second Amendment, were they not, Jim, initially? Isn't that what Sandy Hook was about? It was a drill, and they were trying to do it to get everybody's guns, the Second Amendment.
Oh, of course. It was Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder effort to find a ground to convince everyone to abandon the Second Amendment, give up their guns. There have even been arguments that the founders didn't contemplate military-style weapons, but that's completely absurd and ridiculous. They actually weren't just contemplating military-style weapons. They were contemplating military weapons because they wanted to have a nation of citizen soldiers who could rise to its defense in the case of a foreign threat or domestic tyranny with which we're confronted in spades today.
Joe, you want to add to that?
Yeah. From what I can gather on this, on procedures and things like that, there were questions that there were odd behaviors on part of the AJ Cabal group, that they did not do certain things that they should have. Like one of them is appeal to the First Amendment of the Constitution, the right, you know, of free speech. Why didn't they bring that up?
I'll call you. About 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, look, they did all kinds of things. They didn't even really put up with the fence. I offered to Norm Pattis to come in and appear as an expert witness on behalf of Alex Jones to explain why it was very plausible, given the evidence, that to suspect that it had been fraudulent to get him off the hook. But they showed no interest whatsoever. There was the alleged mistake of sending a whole bunch of emails, an email thread that was confidential to the opposition, which suggests to me Alex was complicit. Something like that does not happen by accident. So I've also been told by sources in a good position to know that he's never going to shell out a nickel over this, and it's all for political effect, an attempt to demonize, you know, anyone who wants to raise questions about government and narratives, and to suggest this is what will happen to you. I mean, look at this guy, by far the most prominent conspiracy theorist in the world with a massive platform and huge financial resources. If that could happen to him, imagine what could happen to you.
Now, like I say, there is a posting up on my site, May 2022, where Donald Trump called Alex Jones a traitor. A traitor. You need to read that article. Just punch in the search box, Alex Jones, and then put in May 2022. It was very serious. I'll try to put it up with the link with today's radio program.
Well, listen, there's another story we need to address, which is that the Democrat campaign is just falling apart. January 6th has fizzled. There's a midterm issue. Only 7% of the public thinks it's significant. The polling is devastating. Turns out that Real Clear Politics, for example, is a generic polling showing the Republicans with an edge. It's anywhere from 3 to 6 in generic polling. In other words, if you were to confront a Democrat versus a Republican without identifying them specifically, who would you prefer? There's a preference for Republicans. This is extraordinary, very rare it ever happens. And because Republicans or conservatives are undersampled, because so many are even unwilling to participate in polls, that means actually the lead by the Republicans here is overwhelming. And well, you can imagine, because look at the issues they're dealing with. Men can get pregnant. Green energy works. We're not smart rats. We got massive spending and inflation. Hunter's laptop is supposed to be Russian disinfo. The vax is supposed to be safe and effective. I mean, the election of 2020, according to them, is not stolen. They're even putting out a female trans doll now that has a penis. I don't think the American people are going to go for all this woke agenda. And I think that if we have an election on the 8th of November, that it's going to be devastating for the Democrats. It's going to basically annihilate the modern Democrat Party. And I believe in part it's related to the Ukraine situation. I think the Democrats would like to have a nuclear war that would then justify imposing martial law in the United States and just circumventing the election altogether so they can remain in power. That's a worst case scenario, because if there's a nuclear exchange, it cannot be limited in its effects. You know, it'll take out about, models have shown it'll take out about one third of the world's population if it were limited. And when you have the ambassador of Russia to the United States declaring we've crossed all the red lines, look, they have that super submarine you were talking about that can create those tsunamis. I don't think they may be quite as massive as you're describing, but they're plenty large enough to do the job. If you had them set off the East Coast, for example, you could take out everything from Boston to Washington, including New York City. It would all be contaminated with radioactivity and be uninhabitable for the next minimal 250 years. Do that on the East and the West Coast, and the United States basically is done for. Or just fire an EMP over our electrical grid and everything grinds to a halt. The Russians hold all the cards. It's, the problem is the Democrats have the combination of being desperate and incompetent, and that can spell disaster for America and the rest of the world.
Joe, isn't it reality? Victoria Nuland and these neocons, they want World War III, and they want the population reduced.
Well, I think Jim is very good at answering that because he's already addressed it. Victoria, in other words, it's the same chicken hawks that got us involved in Iraq. It was all of the guys that were called the neocons, led by Crystal, and then going in and getting us involved in Iraq, and et cetera, et cetera. And we have the same thing going on now, except they're making their billions of dollars off of the gun trade. It's just, it's ridiculous. And this guy, Kalinske, is nothing but a, you know, he's an actor. He's not even a politician, he's an actor. And it's being driven right out of the State Department. And it's the thing of it is that everybody's frightened about is that these neocons will come along and get us involved, and then all of a sudden they say ADO says they disappear into their bomb shelter and the rest of us die.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yep. No, you're right. I think we've covered the bases, Stu. I think I sure enjoy joining you and Joel for these occasions. The American people need to know, because the fate of the nation, it's so often said the next election is the most important, and in some trivial sense, that's always the case, but it's most certainly now in a non-trivial and the most important possible way that this next election is going to be fateful for the future of the nation and of the world.
Joe, I want to ask you something. Where does Israel play into this?
Well, I think Jim has gone over this many times. And to me, my interpretation is that Israel is a platform, okay? I think that it comes out of big central bankers that exist in New York City, Washington, D.C., London, particularly the city, not London Metro, but the city, like the Rothschilds. Those are the guys that are directing things, and they want. That's the word. They want. Whatever it is, they want, and they're going to get it.
Let's touch on... Go ahead, Jim.
No, sure. I just want to say I thank you and Joel. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, real quick, I want to add something else, because this thing with the vaccination, I mean, we're talking people dropping everywhere. Touch on that for a moment before we leave the show.
Oh, yeah. Everything that I'm posting is, and particularly from Dr. Judah Mekovitz Dr. Tenpenny, have said the tsunami of deaths. And they even speculated that the population of the United States would be just over 100 million in 2 years.
You want to go into my blog and check out Dr. Marcola talking about why isn't your doctor warning you about this? The doctors are afraid to speak about a vax and the dangers because they can lose their ability to practice medicine if they challenge the mainstream narrative. I mean, here's a summary overview. Doctors are afraid to speak out about COVID treatment and the danger of the shots because they can lose their ability to practice medicine if they challenge the mainstream narrative. Remdesivir is the only standard of care drug approved for the treatment of COVID, even though it's found to be ineffective against the infection and had life-threatening side effects, including kidney failure and liver damage. Hospitals have an enormous financial incentive to use this toxic treatment, which frequently kills a patient, as the U.S. government pays a 20% upcharge on the entire bill when remdesivir is used. Hospitals are also paid for the use of ventilators and for COVID deaths. Every COVID patient has what amounts to a $400,000 to $500,000 bounty on their head. The persecution of doctors, that persecution doctors have suffered under COVID is now about to be cemented under law in California, where the Assembly Bill 2098 designates dissemination or promotion of misinformation or disinformation related to COVID as unprofessional conduct, or any disciplinary action that could result in the loss of their medical license. It was approved by the legislature on the 26th of September and Newsom signed it on the 1st of October. By preventing doctors from sharing information and knowledge as they see fit with their patients, California bureaucrats are not only violating the U.S. Constitution and destroying the medical profession as we know it, they're also pushing medical science back into the dark ages, as science can only move forward when there's free exchange of ideas. If you've become disillusioned with the medical profession over the past 3 years, you're not alone.
Jim, give out your blog.
JamesHFetzer.org, JamesHFetzer.org.
Okay,
and now you can find many of the stories I've been discussing here there, complete, JamesHFetzer.org.
Okay, what about your free book of Sandy Hook to download, the PDF? Where can they find that?
I'm not allowed to do that because the court imposed constraints on me. But those who look diligently should be able to find some of the places where it's still available, Stu. I'm simply not able to do that.
Okay. Now, I know you got to go. I want to keep Joe on for a minute, and I thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. You're doing a great job.
I thank you, Jim.
Bye.
Bye. Now, Joe, I want to touch on Israel for a moment in the bigger play here and dispensationalism and what the Christians have been being told and they're not being told and so forth. I want to touch for a few minutes on this. It needs to be done.
All right. Just real quick here. All right, I'll do this in a sound bite. There has always been a theme among the Jews of world expansion. It's called Tikkun Kakulam, meaning the repair of the world. In other words, according to their traditions, they are the inheritors of the world. Okay? Not just little Israel, but of the world. And to accomplish that, through many years of manipulation, like through the Rothschilds and things and men like that, the state of Israel was created. In other words, what I'm saying is Israel is a platform, all right? The way they legitimize it is that they connect it to what is called dispensationalism, which was created by the Jesuits way back in the 1500s and then brought forward under people like Mary Ellen White and then finally up into what we call the Scofield Bible, which is nothing more than the King James Version of the Bible with supplementary commentary. And this commentary is biblical text prophecies. In other words, dispensationalism is a man-created, not a God-created. And there's where the difference has to be made. And this started with Billy Sunday. It started with many other people that have led into what we call the tele-evangelism, and every single one of them were crooks. They were just degenerate. And what they did was to mislead people because dispensationalism supports the state of Israel. And what these big Jewish bankers do is to use Israel as a platform to control the Middle East. And if they control the Middle East, they control the world.
Now, that's where the Ukraine, they came from, was the Ukraine.
Well, now that's another long story, and I've got it. That has to do with the Khazars. And the Khazar, it's not a theory, it is a fact. Aaron Ellick has finally put the nail in the coffin of those that dispute what the Khazar theory says. The Khazar theory simply says the people around the Caspian Sea adopted Judaism, became known as Khazars, but identified themselves as Jews who were supposedly part a descendant of the old Hebrews. They were not. And these are the people that Harold Rosenthal in his letter said, we Jews do not have the same God that you do. Your God is the God. Our God is Lucifer. And there you have it in a summation, in a soundbite of what Israel is. It's not God created. It's man created. And there we'll leave it at that, Stu.
Okay. Joe, Professor Joe, I want to thank you very much. And thanks once again, thanking Jim Fetzer. You have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.